Good morning. It's good to see each of you. I appreciate the opportunity to present a short, simple lesson, Dale, this morning. Dale will be presenting the lesson tonight. I'm sure it will be outstanding, as his lessons always are. It's first day of the week. Lessons are being presented across the world. And interestingly, James is presented a lesson several hours ago in Bergen, Norway, to a small congregation. So it's kind of neat to speak on the same day. Today, I would like to talk about some basic exercises. I recently learned that back in the 1950s, the Royal Canadian Air Force published a booklet which presented five basic exercises to be done daily in about 11 minutes. The booklet sold 23 million copies in Canada and was called the 5BX, BX, I guess, for basic exercise, and included stretching and so on. Now, as we consider our own lives and health, we're told continually that regular exercise is very beneficial to our well-being. We're told that exercise reduces stress, lifts moods, helps us sleep better. Exercise can help keep us looking and feeling younger. Well, I don't think so in my case, but it should help you feel better and look younger. Exercise boosts energy, controls weight, combats health conditions and diseases, including stroke, high blood pressure, depression, and anxiety. And we're told that exercise can be fun and a way to enjoy being with other people and a means of enjoying the outdoors. The Department of Health and Human Services recommends at least 150 minutes a week of moderate aerobic exercise, or 75 minutes a week of vigorous aerobic activity, or a combination of both, spread throughout the week. Even small amounts of physical activity are helpful, and accumulated activity throughout the day adds up to provide health benefits. Now, I suppose you're just as overjoyed as I am to say 150 minutes of moderate activity or 75 minutes of vigorous activity per week, 32 minutes a day I need to spend exercising? Well, you know, some of you are very good at that, but some of us are not. So as you think about the government's recommendations and our doctor's recommendations and all that we know that's good for us physically about exercise, let me ask, what about your eternal life? If 150 minutes is needed every week for your physical health, how much time do you spend on your spiritual health? For the next few moments, I would like to suggest a basic daily spiritual fitness plan that will stretch our souls, build us up in the most precious faith, and prepare us for life in eternity. As Grant observed in our class earlier, some things we just have to hear more than once for them to register. Nothing I say this morning is going to be a surprise to you. The challenging part, just like getting out on the pavement and doing your walking or exercising each day, the challenging part of this lesson for some of us, like Larry, is implementing the lesson. I'm going to suggest to you that first, we daily examine the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2 teaches that God's Word helps us grow spiritually when it says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Psalm 19:7 through 10 tells us the psalmist valued God's Word as a source of wisdom as he writes, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. It was by the word of God that Jesus resisted the devil in Matthew 4, verses 4, 7, and 10. First, he said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." In verse 7, "It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." In verse 10, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Devil's trying to get Jesus to sin. Jesus used the word of God to push back. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart." Why? What is the result of treasuring God's word in your heart? "That I may not sin against you." The point is that the word of God is fundamental to our spiritual fitness. So I suggest to you that reading the Word of God daily is a fundamental exercise we need to develop. In our weekly news and notes, a plan is presented that leads you through the Bible in a year. In our tract rack, we have a handout that helps you read the entire New Testament in 3 months. I encourage all of us to develop the habit of reading the Word of God daily. Use one of the two reading plans I just mentioned, or build your own plan. Be consistent. Don't skip days, because when you skip days, it's hard to catch up. Meditate on what you read. Brother Laws used to say that meditation is to Scripture what digestion is to food. Marshall Keble is reputed to have said that when we pray, we speak to God. When we read the Bible, God speaks to us. And he then said, if he had to do more of one than the other, hearing God speak to him would be a good thing. Not only do we need to incorporate as a daily exercise, spiritual exercise in our life, reading the Word of God, spending time in prayer is essential. It's powerful. First, all adults have sinned. Satan works overtime trying to trip us up by using the words of 1 John 2:15 through 17, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Thankfully, through prayer, we can seek forgiveness of sins. In Acts, the 8th chapter, verse 22, it says, "Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you." And then in 1 John 1, 7 through 10, "But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." If we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word's not in us. Forgiveness comes through prayer. Prayer also offers us peace from God. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Prayer will share with us the strength from God. Ephesians 3, 14 to 16 says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, we can gain strength from God. There's opportunities that can be opened through prayer. Do you want to share the Word of God with others? Do you want some family member to hear the gospel and then to obey the gospel? Paul believed God could open doors of opportunity and prayed for that to happen. In Colossians 4:3, it says, Paul prayed, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. Not all of us are outgoing and forthright in telling others about Christ. All of us are not outgoing and forthcoming and bold in making our faith known or arranging for someone to hear the gospel. We can pray for boldness. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 19 through 20, Paul says, "And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." He was in chains as he wrote that. Maybe the boldness that we need is just asking Doug or one of the other elders to meet with someone. Maybe the boldness is praying for ourselves to use our own abilities the best we can. Paul prayed to God for boldness. We each can pray to God for boldness. Unlike when I was a young man and knew a great deal, the older I get, the less I think I know. James, the 1st chapter, verses 5 through 8, tells us we can pray for wisdom. It says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Prayer helps the sick. How many members in this congregation experience illness, including very serious illness, either physically, which we have seen a lot of, haven't we, or spiritually? How often do we pray for them? How often do we pray in this congregation for those that are sick? Why do we pray for them? Do we believe God will help them? James, the 5th chapter, verses 14 to 16, "Is anyone among you sick? Then you must call for the elders of the church, and there to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." How many times do we say that to each other? How many times do we say that to ourselves? How many times do we believe it? How many times do we pray for those who are ill? Spend time in prayer. Prayer has value. Is your daily life filled with anxiety, stress, unrest? Prayer can bring you peace. 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 4. "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Together with studying God's Word, prayer is foundational to our spiritual fitness. What can we do? we can continue earnestly in prayer, vigilant with thanksgiving for the avenue of prayer. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Consistent, fervent prayer will strengthen our relationship with God. Before leaving the topic of prayer, let's remember we often sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. In that song, we sing about prayer being a privilege, and we sing that we will take everything to God in prayer. Do we? If we want a song to think about, I recommend that one to you. As we speak about singing, another spiritual exercise we can do is sing praise to God. Before going any further, I was thinking about singing as I walked on Friday morning and started singing out loud, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And just as I finished that first line of the song, some of the neighborhood dogs started barking and offering their commentary on how I sounded. I was scared to try yesterday and today, so anyway. Singing is what Paul and Silas did when they were in prison. In Acts 16th chapter, verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. What were they doing? They were praising God. Acts 5:41, when they had been punished for what they had been doing, and they departed rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ, comes to mind as I think about this. Paul and Silas were praying, singing praise to God, even though they were being imprisoned. We need to realize that our singing is a type of spiritual sacrifice that we offer to God. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. From Colossians 3:16 and 5:19, we know that singing is a way to teach and admonish one another and to express thankfulness to God. Colossians 3:16 reads, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another. Who? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. James 5:13 says singing is a way to express cheerfulness when it says, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. So I say to you that singing praises is foundational to our spiritual well-being. To make this part of our daily spiritual exercises, I suggest we praise God in song as part of our daily devotional. We can listen to hymns as we drive to church or work, or we can sing as we travel to work or play. I believe that singing enriches our souls and builds us up and strengthens our relationship with God. A very important part of being a Christian is the relationship we have with one another. We know from Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 14 through 16, that the church is the body of Christ and, very importantly, builds up one another when each part of the body does its part. In Ephesians 4th chapter, verses 15 and 16, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Brethren, that's you, that's me. The proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. When we come together to study God's Word and to worship God, our presence together teaches us by example that we're not alone. We are part of the body of Christ, and we can draw encouragement and comfort from the relationship we have with one another. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now, the day of the Lord's return is drawing near, but the day when some of us won't be here any longer is drawing near too. So while there is time left, we need to work together and encourage one another and build one another up, don't we? The ideal that our relationship with one another is mutually supportive is also expressed in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, which says, "Therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." Being together reminds us that even though we have sinned, even though our lives have involved transgressions, sins, and iniquities, and even though Satan beats us up, reminding us of those moments of weakness, being together reminds us that we serve God, who says in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verses 12 through 14, "Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Just a few days ago, on July 6, Doug preached a lesson on the four keys to victory, reminding us that Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as," what? "God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." He then brought out 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is," what? "He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Satan tries to deceive us by making us believe our sins are so great that we have no hope. By being together, we can encourage one another to remember God will forgive us for Christ's sake and has forgiven us if we turn to Him in prayer and sincerity. When God forgives us, the sin is remembered no more. To sum this point up, frequent fellowship is crucial to remaining faithful and steadfast in the faith. Our exercise on this point is to assemble together with Christians at every opportunity we can, Sundays, Wednesdays, during gospel meetings. We can take advantage of the assemblies of other congregations. There are three of us even that are going to Greece and Turkey next year with about 50 other Christians, just to see some of the places where Paul and the Apostle John worked. We can stay in touch by Bible studies and social activities together and by calling one another on days we need to hear a friendly voice. Don't know about what your life at work what is like, but mine wasn't always days of cheerfulness and hearing a friendly voice of someone else that believed the same thing I did and do was helpful. Fellowship with other Christians strengthens one's faith in God and Christ. The fifth spiritual exercise, if you will, is for us to do good works. I understand Ephesians 2 says that we, by grace, you have been saved through faith, not as a result of works, there in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And I understand that Titus 3, verses 4 and 5 say that he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. We are created, though, in Christ for good works to glorify God. This is what Ephesians, let me go forward, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We are not to, not only are we created to do good works, we are to do them and be fruitful. Colossians 1 verse 10 says, "We are to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." As you think about doing good works, let's not grow weary in doing good. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Galatians 6:9, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those of the household of faith." Good works are essential if we're going to reap spiritual benefits. So my suggested exercise here is to share the gospel with the lost, help brethren in need, whether it's physical or spiritual, and daily try to do something that blesses another person. Frankly, good works done systematically build spiritual endurance. Well, there you have it. While this isn't everything a Christian needs to do, I suggest these ideals as five positive ways to build ourselves up spiritually as we read the Word of God, spend time in prayer, offer songs of praise to God, spend time with our brethren, and do good works. Perhaps you might find this plan helpful as you carry out the admonition given by Paul to the young man Timothy. Exercise yourself rather to godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. In the words of D. Bowman, if you miss heaven, you miss everything. As we close our service this morning, there may be someone here that needs to obey the gospel. All things are ready. If you've heard and believed the gospel message, now is the time to obey Christ in baptism. If you're a Christian who needs the encouragement and prayers of the church, won't you respond as we stand to sing the invitation song number 269.
Just get songbooks happening with you. Oh, okay. Thank you. Nothing but the blood.
No, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood.